Okay, good morning, Boker Til. New Masechta, Masechta Zbeah, Baruch Hashem. We start another Masechta in Mayid. We're going through a period, even Sukkah was already relatively short, but we're going through a period now in the next 5 months where we average almost a Masechta per month, close. Many of them are 30 blot bases, a little longer, but anywhere from 30 to 45, 50 blot. Okay, so Masechta Zbeitza, its name, of course, comes from the first word of the Masechta, which is a Beitza, which is called Yom Tiv. The focus of the Masechta really is Yom Tiv, Dina Yom Tiv, with some Dina Mukta and other Dina Yom Tiv. And it's actually a question, why does the Masechta take on the name of the first word? You find that in Parshas and Chumash, you find that you name the Parsha sometimes after the first word of the Parsha. In Masechtas and Shas, very rarely, often you find the same word, but that word is still a good description of the Masechta. We just came off the Masechta Sukkah. The first word of the Masechta is Sukkah, but the entire Masechta is about Sukkah and Sukkah, so it makes sense. But typically by Gemaras, you don't just pick the first word of the Masechta to name it, you pick the topic. The topic here is really Yom Tiv. So the truth of the matter is, Rishonim, many Rishonim Taka say, the name of the Masechta when they refer to it is Masechta's Yom Tiv. And that, the Chur, is the simple answer, that's the right answer. That the name of the Masechta is really Masechta's Yom Tiv, that's the Iker name, and that's the main topic. The question then just becomes, so why did the name, at what point, why did the name switch to become called Beitza instead of Masechta Yom Tiv? I don't really have a stark answer on that, but there's a drush answer from the Chashuk Chemed in his Akhtamah to the Masechta, he brings to the Ben Yada. And the Ben Yada actually says at the end of the Masechta, Ben Yada says that the Lashem Beitza of eggs is a remez for Torah learning in general, that the chicks, they lay eggs consistently, and so too when we learn Torah, or if we learn Torah consistently, our constant learning of Torah will lead to Chedushim, and those Chedushim will lead to having other Chedushim. Now, why we're choosing Masechta Beitza to be the source for that idea, I'm not sure, but that's why the name for Masechta Beitza says the Ben Yehuda, Derech Durosh, Timuram is the beauty of learning Torah consistently and being Mechadish Chedushim, the merit of being Mechadish Chedushim through that constant Torah learning. That's the idea of Beitza. Maybe we'll keep that in mind as we learn to go through the Masechta, the beauty of our constant learning. Now, there's a question that I pronounced, but again, the main question is why is it called Beitza as opposed to Yom Tiv? And the answer seemingly is many Rishonim refer to it as Masechta Yom Tiv. The Takadu called Masechta Yom Tiv. Now, is it Beitza or Beya? Right? The old question is it Beitza or Beya? So Yom Shishtaim, the Marshal says that it should be called Beya because Beitza is also a word that's used to describe a part of the male anatomy. We like to speak Lashon Nekiya, and therefore it shouldn't be used. We shouldn't use the name Beitza rather Beya. Question is for Estrolias. Beya is just the Aramaic for Beitza. It's the same word. So, yes, the Gemara, we use the word Beitza to describe the male anatomy. If we were translating to Aramaic, it would be the word Beya. Since when do you find switching from Hebrew to Aramaic changes the meaning of the word? It's just changing the pronunciation. It's a different word, but it's not the meaning. So therefore, Tresol says, there's a different reason why Beitza was referred to as Masechtas Beitza as Beya, because there's Gemara in the first paragraph of Sanhedrin, it's really Mishnah Machshirin as well, where it discusses that may beitzim, you know, Allah is when things come in contact with the Zion Mashkin, the seven liquids, they become royal Kabbal Tumah, it's Mukhshal Kabbal Tumah. May beitzim literally means like swamp waters, are not Makabbal Tumah. Swamp waters are not Makabbal Tumah. Now, people confused may, sorry, I take it back. May Beitzim means egg waters. Literally, egg waters are not Mekabal Tumah. It's not one of the Zayim Mashkim. Does that make something royal the Kabbal Tumah? They confused it to think that swamp waters, which is water, would make something royal the Kabbal Tumah. The people confused it to think that May Beitzim also does not make something royal the Kabbal Tumah. That was a mistake. So in order to avoid mistakes such as that they confused Beitzim with Beitzim, eggs with swamp water, they switched it to Beya. That was the idea brought by the Tveris Yisrael. And just one more point on this. If you look right on the side of the Gemara, Rabbi Chananel has a two-line in bold, a two-line rhyme to start the Masechta. Aschum Masechtas Beitza, be'ezras gadol ha'itza. We'll start the new Masechta with the help of the great Eitza of Kaddish Baruch Hu. We'll start the new Masechta. Now, why is the Rabbeinu Chananel giving? Maybe he doesn't have a Masechta. I don't believe he does. Why is he giving a little rhyme to start the Masechta? The answer is fairly obvious because he's trying to point out that the pronunciation of the Masechta is Beitza, not Beya. Right? So, Aschum Masechtas Beitza, be'ezras gadol ha'itza. Right, comparing the word Beitza to Eitza, the Chur is trying to show the pronunciation. Okay, let's start the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Beitzah shenodim yantiv, an egg that was laid on yantiv. Beishai marim teichel, beishai marim teichel. There's going to be a four-way machlokes to explain what the issue of the egg that was nil yantiv, that was laid on yantiv. Beishai is saying it's mutter anyway. You're allowed to eat it. Beishai is saying it's not mutter. What is the issue? Why is Beishai saying it's not mutter? Is it a word of mukta? As a problem that was laid on yantiv, so his muktzah wasn't prepared for yantiv. Is it a lack of achana? Also, didn't have preparation, but lack of achana became muchan, wasn't muchan before yantiv. That's more a second pshat. Or is it a gezerah that it resembles fruit that falls off a tree? That's going to be the third pshat. Or the more fourth pshat, which probably we'll get to today, we'll get to tomorrow. But Hashem, is it resembles liquids that are released from fruit, liquids that come out of fruit on Shabbos, you're not allowed to squeeze it on Shabbos, or you're not allowed to squeeze these little liquid out of the fruit, and therefore maybe even liquid that comes by itself is Asra's Gzeira, and the egg resembles the liquid, the egg leaving the chick's body, resembles the liquid leaving the fruit. So either, again, it's Gzeira, those last two Pshatim, Gzeira of Peyos Neshem, or liquid that leaves the fruit, or it's a din of Achana, or it's a din of Muktzah. Let's see. Says the Mishnah further. Beishamah says the shear of sa'ar of leaven on Pesach is a kezayis. The chametz is a kezayis. But the shear of chametz is a bigger shear. You only chayiv if you possess, by Rabbi Yamatz, you possess a kezayis, a date. Well, Beisulah Imrim, no, zevis a kezayis. The shear of both sa'ar and chametz are a kezayis. The obvious question is, why on earth is this machlokes coming up over here? I understand that it's related to a yomtiv, but not it's related to Pesach. This should be Masechta Pesachim. The first din is a general din, like Abi Yomtiv. Why is this going to come up via Rashi and Taisus? Both right away say to second Rashi in the Masechta and the second Taisus in the Masechta. They both say, look what you call the Taisus easier. Leishayach the second Taisus leishayachacha. The Sar because it's not really shayach by us. No shayach is our specific Masechta by yomtiv. It's a Pesach din. L'maisi Pesach is a yomtiv. And these are three matters where Beisham is l'kula and Beisham is l'chumra. Typically we find Beisham is l'kula and Beisham is l'chumra. Since we have three matters yomtiv related that Beisham is the mekel, therefore we put it over here. So it says the Mishnah that Sa'ar is, according to Beisham, there's a chiluk between Sa'ar and Chametz, because Beisham is no chiluk, they're both b'kazayis. The third in the Mishnah is, Hashaych chayiv oif b'yamtiv, one who shechts a chayiv oif oichel nefesh minos mutter yamtiv, you let a shecht chayiv oif to fresh meat, fresh chicken, ayantiv. So the question is not about the shechita, the question is what do you do about the kisri hadam? And that's why we pick specifically chayv ayif. We know the halacha is kisri hadam is only by chaya and by ayif, not by behema. Right? We're coming up to Yom Kippur in a couple of weeks, right? We know that many people are naive to do kaparis, and some, I don't know if they still do it now, I remember over here in Toronto going back downtown in New York, it's much more common. There's trucks with chickens, and they do shechita right on the spot, and you take the dirt, the earth, and you mekayim the mitzvah kisadam. We used to go downtown to Chai Chickens, which doesn't really exist anymore. We used to go downtown to Chai Chickens, and we used to, if you went downtown to Kaparis there, they would allow you also, they would do the shechita in front of you, and allow you to do the mitzvah kisadam. Kisadam is by Aif, and by weir and by chaya. There's no mitzvah kisadam by behemoth. It says the Mishnah, what if one shechted a chaya from ayamtiv, you now have to kisadam? Problem is, digging up dirt could be problematic, of course. Chayfer ayamtiv. Beishama emrim, yachbar b'dikar b'chasa. Beishama says, you could dig with a hoe and cover the earth. Beisila emrim, no. Lo yishchet amkenay afa mukum ayayim. One cannot check unless he had the earth prepared before yamtiv, unless he had the earth ready prepared for yamtiv. Otherwise, it's a problem on yamtiv. Beisila's maida, shim shachat. If he did check post facto, but the evid, sheyachmar bedek vichasa, that you could dig with this hoe and cover the earth. Sheyefakir mukhanu, because the efer, the ash of a stove is mukhan, that doesn't make any sense. You could dig because the efakir is mukhan, the Mar is going to say the shin should be switched to vav. Veefakir for mukhan is a separate din. It's a separate din. The last line, the last three, four words are separate din totally, but the same basil is maida that began once mashachtin, he could use the earth. The Gemara is going to also discuss exactly what the case is. The way Rashi, in the Mishnah, points out, Umaydim, he's Maydim, what changed? The Maydim, if it's a problem of Chayfer, it's a problem of not being Mukhan, why is the Mutta now? Could there's various problems with this earth. It could be a problem of Chayfer, you're digging, it could be a problem of Teichen, grinding up the earth, it could be a problem of Mukhan. So whatever the issue is going to be, what changed with the Evan? If he's still concerned, he should be concerned. Rashi sticks in four words, we've confessed time to Gemara, because she actually decker nuts b'yayim. Even when Beisil is being mighty, you could do it, is where the Ho was already stuck into the ground before Yomtiv. If it was stuck down for Yomtiv, so that could take care of the various issues. It already ground up the earth that it was chopped into. It already made it a little more mukhan because it was in the earth. And also, it's not a problem of chayfer because, again, it already was in the earth. It already was quasi-dug before Yomtiv. We'll see more about that in the Gemara. Okay, so we have three cases in the Mishnah. The Rashi and Taisa both reference that the connections of these three cases are that their Dina Yomtiv Rebbe Shammai is more lenient than Beis Hillel. We have the case that we're going to focus on, the whole daf, which is Beitzah Shalom Yomtiv. Case number one, Mishami says Mutter, Bishlo says it's Aser. We have the case number two is about the Chum, the Sa'ar and the Chametz having different Shirim, according to Mishami, according to Bishlo, they both have the more Chametz and Kashir of Kazayas. And we have the case of where they could do Kisya Adam, where they could dig, open up the dirt. Ask Taisus. First, two points on the Mishnah before you see the Gemara. Point number one. Taisus asks, the Lashon of Mishnah is, Beit Sashon Be'antiv, Beishamay says Teichel. Beisil says any Teichel. When I just actually repeated the name of the Mishnah, what did we say? We said Asur Mutter. And Taisus says, that's talking the normal Lashon that we normally use. Asur Mutter. That's Lashon that just comes out, you know, by rote. Asur Mutter. Why are we focused on Teichel and Lay Teichel? Taisus deflects, maybe you're going to say that Asur is Bimashma Asal Ailam. Taisus is not true. We have a Lashon of Asur, which is not Asal Ailam. Taisus gives a few answers why we're using Lashon of Asur, a Lashon of Teichel, as opposed to Lashon of Asur. Taisus first says that I would think if it just said mutter, Beishamai also means it's mutter lataltel. Again, the issue of here, at least according to the first part for sure, is the issue of muktzah. Maybe when Beishamai says it's mutter, it simply means mutter lataltel. You can move it, you can touch it, but you can't eat it. We want to say eichel, because eichel tells me that Beishamai holds the heter is even as far as being able to eat it. Taste that means from the re. And bechlal, the main usage of an egg is to eat it. What's the main usage of an egg? To eat the egg, that's the main usage. And therefore we say lashon achila, because that's the main usage. We don't say asr v'heter, we say achila. Taste means the third answer, that the word achila also includes tiltal. By saying achila, if I can eat it, how do I eat it? I have to pick it up. So if I have to pick it up and move it to my mouth to eat it, I'm doing tiltal and achila. It makes sense that Beishamai says teichal in order to stress that it's mutter both in achila and in tiltal. Now, on the flip side, it comes to that Beisil's being machmer, the bigger Kiddush would be to say it's usher, not like you can't eat it like teichal. The bigger Kiddush would be to say it's usher even in tiltal, not just in achila. But that's really simple. Once Beishamai says lash of teichal, Beisil's lash is going to be a lash of late teichal to correspond Beishamai. By the Chanami, it includes isser tiltal as well. Now, in this sa'ar and chametz discussion, which we said is really a Pesach discussion, but it comes up here because it's a kula b'sham over b'silo. So the slach is just bothered, shtark kasha. The slach is bothered that the two halachas, the first and the third halacha of the Mishnah, are general halachas yamtiv. Beit Hashanah to be yamtiv, and one the shkita yamtiv. That's negated to all yam tivim is general. The middle halacha of sar and chametz is taka dafka related to Pesach. We understand Rashi tries to explain why we bring it up here because it's a kula b'sham and legabe yamtiv, so we bring it up over here in this Mishnah. It's one of the three. But why is in the middle between the two yamtiv cases? The Chorish put the two yamtiv cases together and then put the case of sar and chametz third, it should be last, separate from the first two cases, as they frek the slach. Answer the slach tutsurit. So, first one there it says that there's going to be a Gemara, a Taisus really, on daf test, in this specific test of Avez, where Taisus brings a girsa, that the last end of the Mishnah about the Shrita, about the using the hoe, taking the dirt for Kisa Dam, the makel over there is Takabes Hillel, which is normally the makel. Meaning, the Mishnah doesn't really have three dinim where Beisham is more makel than Beis Hillel. It's only two dinim. The third din flipping. Beis Hillel is the makel, Beisham is the machmer. If that's the case, it makes a lot of sense why you put the din of Pesach, of Sar, and Chametz closer to the din of Beitzah, because on the tzad that the third din is a kula of Beis Hillel, not a Beishamai, then it's not part of the same sequence, and therefore it is put separately. That's answer number one of the tzad. Answer number two of the tzad is that the next mission is going to discuss a person moving a ladder from around the chicken coop. Why is he moving a ladder around the chicken coop? He's moving the ladder in order to go get a bird, a chicken. Why is he getting a bird? He's going to get a bird in order to shecht it for his yantif purposes. So, because the next Mishnah's topic is relating to Shechita of birds, and our Mishnah also references Shechita of birds, we put that case third to connect to the next Mishnah, even though Erechami, it should have gone together with the first case of the Mishnah. There is a Lumdish discussion in the Shagazariah. I'm just wondering if we're tight on time. No, I think we're okay for time. Let's go through, let's speak out quickly. Shagazariah brings in Simon Pei Alpha, Simon Pei Beis. There's a Taisus in Pesachim. Again, it's not really a Beitza Sugi, it's really Sugi of Sa'ar and Chametz, but it's important in our Mishnah. Kedai to speak out very briefly that there's a discussion if a person over by Rabbi Amatzah, if a person possesses a Chametz and Pesach, does he get Malkus? So one of the sefaras that says there's no Malkus over there in Pesachim Taf Chavtes is because there's no Maisa. It's Lav Shem Maisa. Most, I mean, now a person could make Chametz on Pesach, and then for sure there'd be a Maisa involved. But often, the case, probably most case scenarios, where one is Eivir Chalila Bayer by Matzah, he just had Chametz in his house and he never got rid of it. By mistake, he never got rid of it, which is a passive Malacha. He's being a passive Lav. He's being Eivir passively, not actively. It's what we call Lav Shem Maisa. Lav Shem Maisa, you don't get Malkus. So the question is, does it become a category of Lav Shem Maisa, you don't get Malkus, even when you do a Maisa? Or since sometimes you could do a Maisa, when you do a Maisa, but Chametz, you will get a person will get Malkus. That's a discussion with the Pesach and Chavtes. There's a Taisus that says that even if you say that it should get Malkus Lav Shem Shema Maisa, or even if you say sometimes it has a Maisa, therefore we get Malkus, there's a separate concern. There's a Mitzvah Tashbisu. Tashbisu says that whenever I have Chametz, beside before Pesach, even after Pesach, it's a mitzvah to go burn it. My mitzvah to go burn it is a lav anitik laseh. And a lav anitik laseh doesn't get malchus. Okay, so the bottom line is, we're saying two different svaras, why you want to get malchus, but let's take for granted, there's no malchus by Rabbi Matzah, either because lav shem b'maitzah, or because lav anitik laseh, there's no malchus on by Rabbi Matzah. If that's the case, frekt the shagas ayah, and it's slach, eyes in a question. The Mishnah says it's a chilik in the shear of Sa'ar. Sa'ar, leaven itself, that's the leavening agent itself. That the shear is as small as a kazayis, according to Bishamai. Whereas chametz, the shear is only kasevis, has to be larger. One's only chayv if he has, by Rabbi Matzah, if he has the size of a date. Right? But it still says, no, it doesn't make a difference. But manavshach, what's the kapeid on shear? Why are we focusing on shear, whether it's a kazayis or a kabeitza? Bishlam, if it's in malchus, you need a shear to say, at this point you chayv malchus, at this point you're not chayv malchus. But we hold chatzis shear asa min ha'Torah. If chatzis shear asa min ha'Torah, so what's the nafka mina, whether or not it's kazayis or kasevis? What's the difference? Shear doesn't matter. Either way, it's aser, even the most minute amount. Elamai, what's the shear negeya? For punishment, for malchus. We don't give malchus on bayar matzah, according to what we're saying over there in Taisus and the Gemara and Pesach HaChavdaz. So what's the nafka mina, whether it's sar, whether it's kazayis, or whether it's beya, whether it's kasevis? L'chayra, either way, yeah, it's an iser. It's a tayra chasiyah asman tayra, and either way, there's no malchus. Shtar kakasha from the tzlach from the shagas aryeh. So first of all, right off the bat, maybe I'm making a mistake. I thought there was a lumdish shayla in general. When chatzis shear is asman tayra, is it a new iser of chatzis shear, or is it the same iser? And we're just saying this applies even when you have a half a shear. Meaning, normally you think the shear is a kazayis. No, chatzis shear is also aser, but it's the same iser. It's the same iser by Rabbi Matzah, or this new iser, general iser of chatzis shear, aser. It's not the same specific iser by Rabbi Matzah. If that's the case, if it's a new iser, then the kash doesn't start. It's clear from the Shakazayah and Sach's question, and then they don't give this answer, that this din of chatzis shear it's the same iser. It's the same general iser that you had till now, and we're just saying it applies even by chatzis shear. So the Sach gives a couple answers. First, the Sach suggests, Nafkmin is Chamesh Avo Pesach. Again, Pesach Naf Chavches. That Chamesh Avo Pesach, Aloch is an Isser on Chametz that went through Pesach. And that Isser would only apply on a full shear. Meaning, Sedechami, maybe it's not relevant for the Iker Isser in the first place by Matzah, but the Isser of Chamesh Avo Pesach perhaps would only apply, that's assuming, only applies when you have a full shear, not when you had a Chatzis shear. So, Nafkmin, whether Chatzis shear or not, is whether it remains Isser after Pesach. It's one Nafkmin. Sachman says another Nafkmin. That the nafkmina could be, let's say a person goes and he burns the chametz on Yom Tov. He had found chametz and he's so distraught, he went and he decided he's going to burn it, he burns it right away on Yom Tov. So the halacha is, sometimes they're burning Yom Tov for no reason, you're not allowed to. So you're not burning Yom Tov for no reason. So if it's a shear of Isser, then he had enough of a achiv to be, the burning is something which is a key of Tashbisu. So even though he's being over an Isser of burning something on Yom Tov, which he should have waited left Yom Tov, because he's being Tashbisu, you have the key of the Aseh, we'll call it, maybe it's Deichad Loisei, it takes away the Isser. But if you don't have a shear, it comes that he burned something on Yom Tov that wasn't a shear of Isser by Rabbi Matzah in the first place. In which case, again, this is assuming the Chatzis shear Aser would not be enough for the Chiv of Tashbisu. And therefore, says the Tzach, maybe that'll be an afkmina, whether you have a shear or not. But he comes up with a grace of chav. Says Tzach, but according to this logic, then Beishamah is the machmer. By saying that, remember, if you just tell me that Sarah is a bigger shear for Isser, and it's a bigger shear, it takes more to be over the Isser, that's Beishamah Shita, that makes him a mako. But once we're saying now that it doesn't make a difference, Chatzis shear is Isser, and it doesn't make a difference because no Malkus anyway, so we're saying the whole Nafkmina is that when a person goes and burns it, whether he's Chayiv, and according to Beishamah, he's Chayiv if he doesn't have a shear of Sar, according to Bezil, he's Pater if he doesn't have a shear of Sar, so it comes to Beishamah is the Machmer, so that would mess up our whole Cheshman, so it's a Geshmak answer, but it messes up the Cheshman with who's the mako, who's the Machmer, nice, Lam the Shetukal from the Tzlach and the Shagas Arya. Okay, says the Gemara. The Mayaskinim. What's the case of our mission that the egg, that this is going to be the focus of the whole daf, why is the egg asr on Yom Tov, egg is not Yom Tov? What's the case? There's two types of chicks. There are hens that are designated to eat, that you can eat for themselves. And there are hens that are designated to lay chickens, so to lay eggs. So if we're talking about a hen that's designated to eat itself, so this is zichanam maksa because it's food. And therefore, the egg that comes out of it should also be mutter. Why is Bisham saying it's aser? Ichud afrit to. L'chor, it's ichud afrit. It's food that came out of food. It's like I take a piece of steak and I cut off a piece of the steak. You don't say, it's muktzah. It came off a steak. They're both food. But Ella, the Tanagos must have got the Beitzim. Ella, if they're still saying it's aser, is that this problem must be, we're talking about a Tanagos, which is Emily got the Beitzim, is designated to produce eggs, which makes it itself as muktzah because it's not meant to be used, ayantif, as food. And therefore it's muktzah. And therefore saying the egg that comes out of it, it's right to muktzah. Let's pay sold pshat. So the question is, that makes a lot of sense. My time, I had the Bishamai, muktzi. What's like Bishamai? What happened to the din of muktzah? Why is he not concerned? It says Gemara, "Umay Kusha, what's the Shmer?" So Bishami less the Mutzah, maybe Bishami doesn't want the Mutzah. Remember, we had a Machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon in Masechta Shabbos, and we pointed this out many times. We had a Machlekes Rabbi Shimon less the Mutzah. Rabbi Yehuda held the Mutzah. It's one of the many Machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon in Masechta. That Rabbi Shimon is Gavim, Rabbi Shimon is Gufa. One of the Machlekes is whether there's Mutzah. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda holds the Mutzah. Rabbi Shimon less the Mutzah. We point that many times. It doesn't mean Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold the Mutzah of Chlav. It means the standard Mutzah, or that was discussed in Daitei, that he doesn't hold them. He holds the things don't just automatically Mutzah as long as there's any potential use. It's not Mutzah, but there are Mutzahs that he does agree to. Also. But the point just is, ask the Gemara that maybe Rabbi Shammai is subscribing to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, and he's not concerned about Muktzah. Says the Gemara, "Kasagadaitach, afilu man d'shayim b'muktzah b'neilat aser." So the Gemara says, a part of a question is based on assumption that yes, even if Rabbi Shimon says that Muktzah is permissible, Nailad, an egg that was born on Yantav, was laid on Yantav, that's Nail, it's a new entity, that for sure is going to be Aser. So back to the question, so if that's the case, Maitamad B'Shamay, what's B'Shamay is being lenient? Rashi explains the idea is that Muktzah, the whole idea of Muktzah is that something which is Eskatsim Adaita, it's off my mind, is considered set aside, I cannot use it, can't touch it, I can't move it, I should say, on Shabbos. And the one who says that there's no problem Muktzah holds, that's something which is, that we don't, things are not set aside as quickly, anything that could potentially be used is not set aside. Nailah didn't even exist. Nailah wasn't even the world, and therefore the most assumption is, even the Madamu who says Muktzah is not a problem, would say that Nailah is a Skatsim Adaita, and therefore it is a problem of Muktzah. Amar, Nachman, Rav says no. Lo Ilam, you see, he basically sticks the same explanation. Lo Ilam, Tanagol, the Tanagol, the go with the second pshat. It was talking about a Tanagol that's Emel, the Beitzim, and therefore it itself is Muktzah. The Tanagol is Muktzah. The question is, if the Tanagol is Muktzah, so it's Pashta Ekshvi Aser, so what's going on over here? With Isle Muktzah, Isle Nailud, Lesle Muktzah, Lesle Nailud. Your assumption was that even the Madamur doesn't hold the Muktzah, Beshamim made it holds like Beshamim doesn't hold the Muktzah, but if it sure holds the Nailud, it's wrong. The Madamur doesn't hold the Nailud, doesn't hold the Muktzah, is not worried about Nailud either, and that's be Beshamim, like going with Beshamim, says the Gemara. Beshamim subscribes to Beshamim's opinion, and there's no Muktzah, and there's no Nailud, and therefore the eggs mutter, and Beshilel. Beis Hillel subscribes to rebuke this opinion, and he's worried about Muktzah / Nailud. Fact the Gemara. Umir ben Nachman, the Rechma say this, explaining that Beis Hillel is the one who's machmer like Yehuda, and he's worried about Muktzah. We see not like that from a Gemara. It's really a Mishnah we had in the latter part of Shabbos. Vatran, we learned in the Mishnah in Shabbos, Nav Kuf Mem Gimel, Beis Shammai Aimrim, Magbim El Shulchan Atavus Aklipin. You let to pick up the bones and the shells from the table on Shabbos, one's eating. Beis Hillel said, no, you can't pick up the bones and shells. You got to lift the table and shake it off, because the bones and shells are Muktzah. So you got to shake off the table like Lachayad. You cannot lift it up. Taisa already jumps in before we go further. Taisa says, you pick it up and you shake it off. As Taisus, what do you mean? Manavshach. Basil, the third Rambam Taisus, towards the bottom of the page. Third Rambam Taisus, there's a lot of Taisus on this page. The third Rambam Taisus says, what happened to this? It's a basis. If you hold that the bones and shells are Muktzah, then the table becomes a basis. So what does it help to lift the table and shake it off? As if Taisus gives, there's actually five answers to this question. Taisus gives three, Rashi gives two. Taisus brings first man to Tom, who says that maybe basis is only a basis if you intended to leave it the whole day. You have to have, only if you intended to leave the Dover Muktzah there, does the item supporting it become a basis for the Muktzah, and therefore it becomes us as well. Over here, you intend to leave it all day, and therefore the table does not become buses. Answer number two is, it was a buses, there's a famous, he said also, a buses the davar mutavaser. That's how we ultimately allow ourselves to use certain drawers on Shabbos, or move table close on Shabbos, right? When something is a buses for a davar aser, like we put, for example, you have the candelabra, but you also put the challah on, so it becomes a buses the davar aser. And davar mutter, that takes me the status of buses. If it's not just a buses the davar aser, it becomes movable on Shabbos. Another teretz thesis is that you didn't put it down. You don't put the shells and bones down. The shells and bones, they kind of fall down. I mean, even if you don't drop it like a, you know, you don't drop it like a, you know, in a wild manner, it's as if you're dropping it, because you're just getting rid of the shells from your hands. You're not putting it down, and therefore something which wasn't put down doesn't get a status of buses. The item supporting it, the table underneath, doesn't get a status of buses of aser. That is the third shot of Taisus. The Rashi brings two other answers. Rashi brings, first of all, it's a graf sharei. Graf sharei is something which is very disgusting, because I'll take away the status of muktzah, because you let him move away the something which is completely disgusting out of the area. And the Rashba then says also, he puts it down with intent to move it. So similar to the first idea, that you didn't have intent to put it all day. Rashba has a similar idea. You put it down the chatfil intent to move it. Anything you put down the chatfil intent to move it does not have to bust. Okay, so it's four or five reasons why there is no problem with buses. But still, Again, but the Rambam says, in itself, the bones and shells are mukhs according to Beis Hillel, so you shake off the table, and it falls off by itself, whereas according to Beis Shammai, you can take off the bones and shells directly. That is the simple reading of the Mishnah of Kuf Mem Gimel in Shabbos, and if you remember, we quoted this, we had a couple times in Masechta Shabbos, we quoted this flip. V'amar Rav Nachman, anuin lanu el Beis Shammai k'rabi yud Beis Hillel k'rabi. It sounds like from our reading of the Mishnah, Beis Hillel is machmer for mukhsah, and Beis Shammai is not, which fits with our Mishnah over Beitza, but Rav Nachman himself is the one that switches over there and says that Beis Shammai is the one who's machmer k'rabi yud mukhsah, and Beis Hillel is mekel. Now we got a problem. Rav Nachman is explaining our Mishnah, the problem is mukhsah, and Beis Hillel is machmer, and Beis Shammai is mekel. Rav Nachman over there, by moving the bones and the shells off the table, says Beis Hillel is the one who's machmer mukhsah, and I'm sorry, he flips and says, Beis Shammai, the Mishnah says it's Beis Hillel, but he flips to say that Beis Shammai is the Machmer, and Beis Hillel is the Mekel. So we have a steer in Rav Nachman himself. Is Beis Shammai the one who goes like Rabbi Yehuda? Or is Beis Hillel the one that goes like Rabbi Yehuda? Is Beis Hillel the one that's lenient, like Gabi Mukta? Or is Beis Shammai the one that's lenient? Amalek Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman says, I'll tell you very simple. Gabi Shabbos, it says, I'm Tanakh Rav Shimon, and Mesef the Shabbos, with Tana, taught, namely Rebbe, taught Stama Mishnah like Rav Shimon, meaning that we're Machmer Mukta. Where do we see this? The Tznan, Mechatnos, like the Lumafe, Behemi, you have to cut the gourd in front of the animal. And you can cut up the nevela, the carcass, in front of the dogs. So it's Stam the teaching, we're not concerned about Mukta. So that Mishnah of the Shabbos, Stam Mishnah, doesn't quote any names, and it teaches that we're not worried about Mukta. So the Tana, Rebbe, was Sasama Kerb Shimon, so therefore Mukim Lala Beis Hillel Kerb Shimon. Rav Nachman and Mesech the Shabbos wants Beis Hillel to be like Kerb Shimon, because that's whose Rebbe is being Sasam like, that seems to be our Rebbe's Paschim. Avol. Tava Beis Gabi Yomtev, the Gabi Yomtev, where what? The Sasma Tanakh Rabbi Yehuda, in Yomtev, meaning our Mesechta, Mesechta's Yomtev, we'll call it Mesechta's Beitza, where the Tana is Sasam like Rabbi Yehuda, that we are in Ramukta. Where do we see that, the Tana? Because we see the Mishnah coming up. It's a Mishnah, I mean, it's Mishnah coming up in the Daflam and Aleph over here in Beitza. It's actually quoted again right in the last couple of blah, in Mesechta Shabbos as well. So Gabi, Yomtev, where it's Tanan, Ein Vakanetz Min HaKaris, you're not allowed to chop off wood from the beams on Shabbos, nor on a beam that broke on Yantiv. So it's time to say, Eitzim that was set aside, that you can't break through those beams. It's not so much our clear right of Mukta, it's the second case. Kairish Nishbar, a beam that broke, the only reason why it should be Masr now, you want to use for firewood, is because it was Mukta. Since it was Mukta before Yantiv, you're making saying it's Mukta now, L'chaira, our Mishnah is saying a Stam Mishnah that we are worried about Mukta Yantiv. We had a Stam Mishnah Shabbos that I'm not worried about Mukta. So says Rav Nachman, I'm going to be mukim in Beitza, that Beis Hillel is like the Tana who says that Mukta is Aser. And in Shabbos, I'm mukim Beis Hillel like the Tana that Mukta is Mutter. Says the Gemara, mukim on Beis Hillel Rabbi Yehuda in Mesechta's Beitza, I'm going to establish, Rav Nachman establishes Beis Hillel like Rabbi Yehuda, that Mukta is Aser, and that's what he's learning our Mishnah, that Beitza, the Shnel Beitza is Aser, like Rabbi Yehuda, like the Shita Mukta, because he wants to make Beis Hillel only Shtim with the Stam Mishnah, which would seemingly be Halach Lamaisa. The obvious question is, and the Gemara says right away, Mikhti, man sasmin masisin, who taught both Stam Mishnah is Rebbe. So what's Taka Peshat? Rebbe in Shabbos is being Sasam like Rabbi Shimon the Kula, and in Yom Tov in Beitza he's being Sasam like Rabbi Yehuda Lechumra. Ma'ish Rabbi Shabbos Sasam like Rabbi Shimon, or Ma'ish Rabbi Yom Tov Sasam like Rabbi Yehuda. Why is Rebbe being Sasam like Rabbi Yehuda over here in Beitza, and in Shabbos he's Sasam like Rabbi Shimon? Says the Gemara, Amri Shabbos Techamir v'Leselzuliba Sasam like Rabbi Shimon. Shabbos is more chamer. Shabbos is more chamer. Shabbos is skila. Shabbos is no heterim in the melachas. Yeah, all the mochas always aser, and therefore, except for, of course, kol nefesh, right, with like. So therefore, sasamon, because Shabbos is a chamer, needs less protection. Since it needs less protection, so we're mekel legabe muktzah, more than a muktzah drabanan. Muktzah is really more of a kula. We're mekel like Rav Shimon legabe muktzah. Yamtiv, the kill yamtiv is mokal. Eich nefesh is mutter. Yamtiv, even when it's eifer melacha, no chiv skila. It's a lav, but no chiv skila. It's more lean than Shabbos. We're scared vasa zuzlepe. People are going to be mazalz, especially as compared to Shabbos, where Shabbos is more chamer. People come to be more lean payamtiv, and therefore sasam like Rabbi Yehuda, the machmer, the Tana Rebbe was sasam like Rabbi Yehuda to go like Rabbi Yehuda, that the chumra that muks is going to be aser on yamtiv, kind of be like a siyug for yamtiv to protect, to make that people shouldn't be lenient by yamtiv. This is a discussion in the Rishonim. Okay, so we're saying that Rebbe teaches the Stam Mishnah teaches Allah like Rabbi Shimon lekula by Shabbos and like Rabbi Yehuda lechumra by yamtiv, because yamtiv needs more of a protection. But Rav Nachman therefore put Beis Hillel like Rabbi Yehuda by us. And the Chumra, and puts Beis Hillel like Shimon by Shabbos, the Kula, because that's the halacha of Beis Kabbalah. But what taka does Beis Hillel hold? So most Rishonim learn Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai aren't going back and forth. They both hold either, whichever one, they hold either Mux is Aser both B'Shabbos Yantiv, or Mux is not Aser B'Shabbos Yantiv. They're not going back and forth. Reb Nachman's plugging in Beisilil because he wants to share Malach L'Maisa in both places. That's not really what Beisilil himself holds. That's how many Rishonim explain. However, there is a Marmshik. The Marmshik learns, that Taka Beisilil also changed. Beisilil is like, Rebbe. Rebbe that changed, he was Mekah B'Shabbos and Mamach B'Yantiv to protect Yantiv. Shabbos didn't need the protection, so Beisilil himself holds that way. That the Gabi Shabbos is more lenient, and the Gabi Yantiv is more chomer. That's how we learn. So Taka, not just Rav Nachman's plugging in Beisilil, he's saying that's what Beisilil holds, like Rebbe. The problem that, of course, that arises is, so what on earth is Shabbos Shammai? If you tell me that Beisilil is exactly opposite, he's being more machmer by Shabbos. If we're saying they really flipped, that they're really flipping, assuming, according to Rav Shik, Beisilil flipped, and Beishabi also flipped, assuming it goes both ways, that Beisilil was more lenient Beishabi, more machmer Beyamtiv, so it comes out that Beishabi was talking the one as being more machmer Beishabi and more make a Beyamtiv. What's the Beishabi? I think the Beishabi is very simple. I didn't see the Shari missed the question, or I've heard him on the Rav Shik, but I think the answer is very quite simple. There is an Apisvara. Shabbos is Taka Mochamer. There's two ways to look at it. You can say Shabbos is Mochamer, so it needs less of a protection of Mukta, whereas Yantiv is more Kal, needs more protection, or you could say, Fakert. Shabbos is Mochamer, and therefore, you're more machmer with Dina Muksa as opposed to Yantiv. I think that'd be simple to explain in Beishamah. Okay, let's see a couple lines further. It says the Gemara, the Ma'akim from Tani Gosam is the Galtabetzin, Mishnah Muksa. So we've established the case is ultimately in our Mishnah, it's Din Muksa, Mahalcham, Warden of Sigis, the issue of the Beitza of the Egg is a Din Muksa, and we're talking about a hen that was designated for Beitzim, it itself is Muksa, and the egg is Muksa. So that's the more basic question. If focus here is Muksa, why are you focusing on the egg? Focus on the hen itself. A hen that's designated to lay eggs is muksa because it wasn't set aside to be eaten on Yom Tov. It was skatzidaiti because it's there to lay eggs. Yachay had the mufa give me beitza, lifta give me the tarigolos. We want to be arguing the tarigolos itself. Why are we bringing in the beitza? Argue about the mother itself, about the chick. About the hen. Says, no, because we want to teach you that Beishamai was lenient, holds that the Naila, even the egg which was laid on Yantav, is also going to be permissible. In fact, we're looking at the Targalos, why don't we argue about the Targalos, teach the Kaycha Beisilil, the Muktzah Asiri, that even the hen, even though it's just Muktzah, it's not Naila, it's Asir. What do you tell me? There are others. The obvious answer we have all the Shas. And the Kaycha of Heter is Adav. Beishamai being Nakel is more of a Kiddush, and being Make Manila, than Beisilil being Machmir. Well, what's the idea of Kaycha? There are others. Rashi explains because it takes more places, of course, more confidence to issue a psak lakula. You cannot know the halacha and say, okay, be machmer, it's usher. But to go lakula takes more places. So, chitim, you can tell me, can I say, there adif, and if it's betavayu, still arguing both. Why don't you say very simply, tarnagilus, I made this to gado beitzim, he who beats sasa, beshama imrim techel, beshama white techel. Say that the tarnagilus and the beitzim, beshama said both the mutter, and beshilus is both the usher. Why are we arguing only in the beitzim, not the tarnagil? Argue on both tastes right away. Every time you have a kerf tater adif, every time there's a machlekis, and we pick one side, we say the reason why we pick the side is we pick the side to show the kerf of heter. So ask that too. Argue on both sides. Argue the other way too. Why don't we ask the question of Bashas? It doesn't spell out the question, but he says the simple answer is because you're only adding one word. You're only adding one word over here. Say, instead of saying Beitza Shal Yotav, say the hen and the Beitza. Say both. Why don't we just adding one word? Therefore, when we have the Machlekes by both of them, says the Gemara. Therefore, the Gemara is the issue of Rachman's answer. Elam Rabba. La'ilam Tanagos. Hamed Lachila. We're talking about a Tanagos that was Eimed Lachila. It was Eimed for eating, not for. There's a whole new Pshah in the Mishnah. It was a Tanagol that was Eimed for Achila. So it's not Mukta itself. The Tanagol itself is not Mukta. And the focus is Dafka on the egg. So what's the Shaila then? We're specifically talking about a case of Yom Tov that fell out the day after Shabbos. And there's new issue of Achana. The issue over here is that you cannot prepare on Shabbos for Yom Tov for the next day. Any base that is laid today, that means that it became completely formed yesterday. It should be on the sixth day, and they'll prepare that which you're going to bring. Chayil, let's talk about the man over there. Chayil mechin the Shabbos. We learn from there is a mitzvah preparing on Friday for Shabbos. We darshan in general. Chayil is mechin the Shabbos. The chayil mechin yantiv. I can prepare on weekday for Shabbos. I can prepare on weekday for yantiv. The yantiv mechin the Shabbos. The Shabbos mechin yantiv. But I cannot prepare on Shabbos for yantiv nor yantiv for Shabbos. And therefore, an egg that becomes complete on Shabbos, right, cannot be eaten the next day on Yom Tov. That's a problem. And an egg that's laid on Sunday was completed on Shabbos. We say it became fully formed on Shabbos, which means that Shabbos is the Hachana, and that itself is the new problem, a new issue. Rabbi Zarshin from the Pasuk of Yom Hashishi, an issue of Hachana. Okay, so that means it should be also only on Sunday. Yom Tov, any other day of the week should be permissible. The answer to the Gezerah, Mishum Yom Tov, Hach Shabbos, Gezerah, because of Yom Tov that falls after Shabbos. You're right, the rest of the week should be permissible. It's Gezerah of Yom Tov on Sunday. Shabbos, Amat Tishri. So every Shabbos, an egg should be mutter according to just because the egg was formed on Friday, that means it was fully formed on Friday. So Shabbos, which doesn't follow Yom Tov, eggs should be permissible. Gezerim Mishim Shabbos after Yom Tov. No, it's because the Shabbos that came after Yom Tov was on a Friday. Umigas Rinan to make Gzera for Tanya Shechas Tanigel spots about the basic Gemuras. Mutaras Lachem Yom Tov. We find if one Shechas Tanigel and finds basic Gemuras, it's Mutti Yom Yom Tov. Vemisa Ligs Mishim Shabbos Adam Yamayim. Let them make a Gzera for those that were laid on their day, meaning we should be worried that if it was matured on that day itself, it's a problem. Why are we saying that an egg that was cut open and you found the egg, and that was cut open, you find the egg inside, it's mutzer. We're saying that whenever it lays an egg, it was prepared the day before. So maybe when you shechted the hen, it was that day that the egg was prepared, that itself should be a problem. Why are we worried about that case? It says the Gemara, on top of this, Amar lei beitzim gemuris beit b'mei iman milzle sheicha. Shechting a hen and finding a fully developed egg is very uncommon, because once fully developed, it's usually laid within a few hours by the next day. So to shecht, you're in that moment where you shecht and you found fully developed, is uncommon. So the other days of the week with Gezer, Yantav falling out on a Sunday, or at the Yantav falling out on a Friday, with Gezer in those other scenarios, but to be Gezer by a fully formed egg that's found in a hen that was shechted, that were not Gezer. So again, with this old Rabbis Pshat, that the issue of here for Basil is that the hen that was the lazy egg on Yom Tov. The issue is, it's an issue of hachana, and the fact that we're always worried about it is a problem, is a din of gzeira. Here's a shtickle that we mentioned, really, in the end of, it's related to sikhos, but there's a shtickle we mentioned for the slach, in the end of Sukkah. We mentioned that by the concept of kaitlet der adif is specifically on deraisis. The concept of kaitlet der adif doesn't apply as much to derabanans, because by derabanans, suffix derabanan go lukul anyway. By deraisis, takes a place as the lukula. By derabanan, not derabanan, suffix derabanan is lukul anyway, so if anything, could be more of a kaitlet der chumra difa by derabanans, perhaps. Question over here, and this Gemara, Tzach himself addresses the question of this Gemara, we're talking about muktzah. Going back on that Gemara before, about kaitlet der adif, we're talking about muktzah, and we're using a logic of kaitlet der adif, l'chayr kor der tzlach, the logic of kaitlet der adif to apply over here, because we're talking about muktzah. We'll pause over here, pick up the Rav Hashem, have a wonderful day.